Welcome to our service for the third Sunday in Advent. Next year, 2023, has been designated a year of pilgrimage by our Diocese of St David's. Our Old Testament reading today speaks of the Jewish pilgrims returning with joyful songs to Jerusalem. So we'll take the opportunity today to reflect on the nature of pilgrimage and the nature of coming home. But take a wild guess what our first hymn will be. The Advent Kyries. Restore us, O God of hosts. Come, Lord Jesus. Give us peace and strength in our days. Come, Christ Jesus. Be present with us, and we shall be saved. Come, Lord Jesus, and do not be slow. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, in what we have done and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please you in newness of life, to the honour and glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the third Sunday in Advent. O Lord Jesus Christ, who at your first coming sent your messenger John the Baptist to prepare your way before you, grant that the ministers and stewards of your mysteries may likewise so prepare and make ready your way, by turning the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, that at your second coming to judge the world, we may be found an acceptable people in your sight. For you are alive and reign with the Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
The reading is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 35. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, the desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus it shall blossom abundantly, and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God, Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveller, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
The New Testament reading is from the Epistle of James, beginning in chapter 5. Be patient, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Next year, 2023, has been declared a year of pilgrimage by our Diocese of St. David's. Pilgrimage was important in Celtic Christianity, and the city of St. David's was an important pilgrim destination. We'll have opportunities to make some kind of pilgrimage to St. David's within the year. We know too, for example, that pilgrimage is important in the Muslim faith. Muslims have a duty to make the Hajj, the pilgrimage to the holy city of Mecca, and they look forward to it as a joyful journey to a joyful gathering. For Jewish people, the idea of pilgrimage is perhaps more complicated. For too long, Jerusalem, the obvious destination for Jewish pilgrims, was a destination from which they were excluded. And although there is access again now, the tradition is more mixed. Not all Jewish people feel that they have a duty to make pilgrimage to Jerusalem, even though the importance of the Holy City is undiminished in Jewish thought. In the time of Isaiah, though, the people of Judah felt a burning desire to return to the holy city of Jerusalem, from which some of them, including some of their most important leaders, had been taken into exile. Their first temple, built by King Solomon, had been destroyed. They longed for the time when it would be rebuilt. In our Bibles, the book of Psalms, which is a sort of Jewish hymn book for use in the temple, contains a number of psalms which are called songs of ascent, capturing the joyful expectation of the pilgrim climbing towards Mount Zion, the hill on which the temple was built. Most of the psalms are probably later than the exile and written for use in the new temple, which was rebuilt on the site of the old one. But in our Old Testament reading today, in Isaiah 35, we are probably in the time of exile, and we hear the prophet's hope that there will be a joyful return to Jerusalem along the highway through the desert. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God, says the prophet elsewhere in Isaiah, and along that highway the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing to Zion, and everlasting joy will be upon their heads. They will obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. If you think about it, there are different kinds of pilgrimage which you might take at different times. Some of them may be once-in-a-lifetime events. We read recently the story of the Ethiopian eunuch travelling on pilgrimage to Jerusalem, a round trip of about 2,000 miles. It must surely have been a once-in-a-lifetime trip for him to a place he'd longed to see. Christians today who make the pilgrimage to Santiago de Compostela may feel much the same. You get the feeling that Chaucer's pilgrims in the Canterbury Tales are making a pilgrimage that may not have been once in a lifetime, but you probably wouldn't have made it every year. On the other hand, within the Judea of Jesus' time, we know that people travelled up to Jerusalem quite often, that Jesus himself went there in a family party when he was a boy. As a grown man, according to John's Gospel, he regularly travelled between his home in Galilee in the north down to Jerusalem in the capital in the south of the country. We might call it going down to Jerusalem, since the journey was from north to south, but in John these journeys are always up to Jerusalem. Rather, perhaps, as English people of a certain class always talked about going up to town when they were going into London. But there is, of course, a spiritual component to the idea of going upwards to Jerusalem, a sense that in going to Jerusalem, to the dwelling place of the Lord, you are always going upward, always going nearer heaven, with a sense of spiritual uplift. Quite often, parishioners will come back from holiday and tell you how much they enjoyed the church they went to when they were away. I remember, as a younger, less experienced vicar, sometimes feeling as though one had been put in the shade a bit. What's wrong with the worship we do here, where these people live? You learn over time, not least because you yourself enjoy going to church on holiday, that it's the change that people enjoy. A new building, new people, new hymns and songs. Perhaps above all, the chance to worship with no responsibility for putting the hymn books out or making the coffee, taking the collection or greeting visitors. When you don't have to do that stuff, you can more easily remember what it is you come to worship for, which is something that can easily be forgotten in the church where you worship every week. Some Christians, of course, love going on specifically Christian holidays. Events like Spring Harvest at one end of the churchmanship spectrum, or the Passion Play in Oberammergau at the other. Before his children came along, our son Joe regularly did the catering for an annual youth pilgrimage to the holy island of Lindisfarne. Pilgrimages are great for young people, and the diocese will be organising one or two in this year of pilgrimage to come. In Reformed and Lutheran churches in Europe, children often go on confirmation holidays, times when they go away in church groups in preparation for confirmation or whatever similar celebration marks their progress to adult membership of the church fellowship. It's perhaps a bit like those times in the Gospels when Jesus says to the disciples, "Come ye apart," as the old translation used to have it. Come aside for a while, to rest, to think, to pray. They do it after they've been involved in an intensive time of ministry, but they also do it when he knows that an intensive time with ministry is coming up. But whether your pilgrimage is made once in a lifetime, or whether it's one you make two or three times a year, the important thing to remember about pilgrimage in Christian terms is that you do always have to go home. Whatever spiritual uplift you find at the end of your pilgrimage or in the journey on the way, you have to take that spiritual blessing home with you to live out your faith in the humdrum everyday world of work and family, church and neighbourhood. Pilgrimage must not be understood as an escape, or at least certainly not as any kind of permanent escape. The job that bores you that you're tempted not to do properly, the people that annoy you that you're tempted not to love, the petty irritations of the everyday that can grow so big in your imagination that they seem like a mountain of frustration. All these things must still be lived through in the familiar settings where and when they happen, and they must still be lived through doggedly and determinedly in the faith of Christ. They constitute, if you like, the tough business of carrying the cross of your Christian discipleship. To go away on pilgrimage to Spring Harvest or Oberammergau or wherever else it may be, if it works well, will perhaps enable you to see some of these things in clearer perspective. It will remind you of what is truly important in your Christian life, and indeed your life in general. But the life one has been given is the life one has to live, and one's Christian witness consists, above all, in living it in love and charity with one's neighbours and in the steady daily walk with the Lord wherever we are set. If you're a Christian disciple, you don't get to take up your cross every now and then. Whoever would be a follower of mine, says Jesus in Luke's version, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily. And follow me. Amen.
As I was weary and worn and sad,
Now it's time for our prayers. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. In ta de hunoiten en evaith sancte dia de enu, de led de devnas gunele de wechlis, megis en ene, vechli ar y ddear hefyd. De ron i heddiw ein bar y benyddiol, y maddau ni ein dyledion fel y maddewn ni na ein dyledwyr, ac nac ar y ni brofedigaeth eith i'r gwared ni rhag drwg. Canis iddo ti o'r dernas, a'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oes oedd. Amen. Heavenly Father, as once again we prepare for Christmas, help us to find time in our busy lives for quiet thought and prayer, that we may reflect upon the wonder of your love and allow the story of the Saviour's birth to penetrate our hearts and minds. So may our joy be deeper, our worship more real, and our lives worthier of all that you have done for us, through the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray for the Church, for the Christian family who will be celebrating this festival in so many different ways. We pray for Christians where there is persecution, who dare not celebrate openly. We pray for the Christians in our own country, and for the people in our own church families, with whom we share our celebrations. Grant that all who come into our church at this Christmas time may be enabled to renew their relationship with you. Help us all be glad of your presence and to rejoice at the coming of the Lord. May your blessing be upon all who worship with us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As we hear the song of the angels, we pray for the peace of the world. Give peace, Father, to the world, to the victims of war, the refugees, to the widows and the orphans. Give peace to our families and friends, perhaps especially to any who have quarrelled and need to be reconciled. Give peace in our own divided hearts. We know that without justice there can be no peace. Let peace come when all people are respected regardless of race and religion. Let peace come when trading weapons of mass destruction is a crime. Let peace come when the earth's resources are used wisely for the common good, when money is used to serve and not to enslave the world. Let peace come through the transformation of our own lives, that we may do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As we see Mary and Joseph on the road to Bethlehem and know that there is no place for them, we pray for homeless people and refugees in all lands who have no country to call their own. Let your blessing be with those who work to help the homeless this Christmas time and with all refugees. We pray for people who are lonely, especially those known to us, lonely because they've lost a partner, those who are lonely because no one seems to care, lonely because of handicap or illness. Let your presence be with those who are alone at this season of friendship, and help us to take your friendship to those whom we know will be alone. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember the sick. We pray for friends and family who are ill at this time, to remember them in the quietness of our hearts. We bring them to you in the confidence that you love them and know their needs, and that your healing power is still the same unchanged today. Bless all that is being done for their recovery, and answer our prayers as you see best. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, a light which no darkness can quench. We remember friends and family who have died, and we pray that you would bless them. Help us to know the comfort of your Holy Spirit within, the fellowship of the church family around us, until we are reunited once more in your heavenly light. You turn our darkness into light, and in your light shall we see light. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ, the Son of Righteousness, rise upon you and scatter the darkness from before your path. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, this day and always. Amen.